This is a re-recording of the second of our shiurim on the question of which plants are subject to Kedushas Shviyas, the holiness of Shemitah. And what we said is that, first of all, they have to grow in the ground, something we already discussed regarding hydroponics. We talked about it in terms of growing things indoors, what we said in this shiur is that it has to have roots in the ground as opposed to mushrooms. We also discussed bee honey. And then we moved into our second criterion. And our second criterion is a little tricky. It's called hana'aso ubiuro shava, that you benefit from the plant at the same time that you destroy it. And this plays out in two ways. Number one, a plant is only subject to Kedusha Shviyas. It only has the holiness of Shemitah produce if, in its normal use, you destroy it at the same time as you benefit from it. That's number one. And number two, you could only use the plant for an activity in which it is destroyed at the same time that you receive the benefit. Why do I care about receiving benefit at the same time as you destroy it? What's that about? It, as Rashi explains, it's supposed to be eating. In eating, you destroy the plant as you benefit from it. The assumption seems to be that the main benefit you're getting from the plant is the initial benefit you're getting from the plant is just the enjoyment of eating it. So too, any other use you're going to make of plants that are kadosh, that have Shemitah status, has to be that type where the benefit and the destruction of the plant come simultaneously. So the number one, we say that it only has Kedushas Shviyas if the normal use of it is Hana'aso Biro Shava. And number two, the only use you're allowed to make of it is a use in which Hana'aso Biro Shava. Why? Because it has to be like eating. Okay. We then asked, how exactly do you define benefit from the material outside of an eating context? And specifically, we talked about the case of using Shemitah plants to color fabric. We say in the Gemara itself that you are not allowed to use Shemitah produce for laundering things. You're not allowed to use Shemitah produce for redding flax, the process that we discussed already last time. However, you are allowed to use it to color fabrics. Why is coloring fabrics different from using it for, let's say, laundry? And we said it depends on how you understand what exactly hana is, what exactly benefit is. We saw that Rashi seemed to say, regarding laundry and regarding redding, that the reason why you're not allowed to use Shemitah produce for it is because the benefit doesn't come until you wear the garment, so you've destroyed the produce before you get the benefit. However, that doesn't explain why dyeing works, because the same thing is true regarding coloring the garment. Again, you color the garment, you're not wearing it at the time that you destroy the dyes. So that's difficult to understand, as Tosfos points out. So the second idea, which we saw in Tosfos, is that the benefit is when you transform the material. Transforming the material is different for laundry and redding as opposed to for dyeing, meaning that when you are redding the flax, when you are doing the laundry, the produce is destroyed days before it changes the material that you're soaking in it. So writes Rashi in Bava Kamma, as opposed to when you're coloring it, where the produce is destroyed as it is absorbed in the material and it colors the material. That was the second approach. And then the third and last approach was brought in Tosfos, and that was the idea that the benefit is when the material goes up in value. So when you're dealing with laundry, when you're dealing with redding, it's not going up in value at the beginning of the process. That doesn't happen until the end of the process. Whereas for coloring, the wool that you're soaking is dyed as the produce is destroyed and the value does go up. Okay, all of this was in the first shiur. So now we move ahead and we ask, this hana'aso biuro shava, this principle that there is only Kedusha Shviyas in the event that the benefit happens simultaneous with the destruction of the produce, is that really a requirement? The Rishalmi doesn't seem to require it. And here on the source sheet, in source Aleph, I show you, this is the Rishalmi in Shviyas, the beginning of Perek Zayin. They talk about Tzivian, Maushe Heilen, Kedushas Shviyas. Tzivian are dyes. And we ask, are they subject to Kedushas Shvius? And our answer at first is, well, the Torah says, Lachem, it shall be for you. Kol shoot Sarach Lachem, any need that you have. V'tani Allah, kigon, achila ushesia v'sicha utzviya. That includes dice, as opposed to malugma, which we'll get to. So the fact that it includes dying tells me that yes, there is Kedushas Shvius for dying materials. As opposed to malugma. Malugma is some kind of plaster that's put on the skin of somebody who is ill, as well as alontin, which is used for tefillin, which right now we're going to assume means also cholin, people who are ill. So those things are out. They're only for people who are ill. It's a special use. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Then Rabbi Yonah asks, wait a minute, why are you excluding malugma? I'm not going into this discussion right now. We are going to come back to it. But we go through a whole discussion about tzviyin, about dyes, and nobody ever mentions anything about hana aso biyuroshava. The requirement that the enjoyment of it come at the same time as the destruction has no place in this debate, apparently. And then the Gemara goes into the discussion of besamim and the question of if you have things that you smell, in order to get enjoyment, do they have Kedusha Shvius? And once again, they have a nice big debate, and they don't debate, or a little debate, and they don't say anything about Hana Asu B'Yeroshava. And then if you jump down to Source Vav, I didn't include it in Source Aleph for reasons unknown to me, but they talk about Kvisos, they talk about laundry detergent, and they ask, is there Kedusha Shvius? And they bring you a source, and they don't discuss Hana Asu B'Yeroshava. It has this whole discussion. It doesn't mention anything about Hana Asu B'Yeroshava at all. Not only that, in Source Beis, the Yerushalmi also discusses the issue of laundry detergent. They bring a source, which is familiar from the Gemara in Adarim Daf Pei. Mayon Shal B'nei Ha'ir. You have a spring that originates in a particular town. It runs from that town to a second town. So now the question becomes, the people in the first town, by using the water, are restricting or reducing the water that the people in the second town will get. So, hein v'acherim, if it's the water needs of the people in the first town versus the water needs of the people in the second town, hein kolim l'acherim, the first town is entitled to say, our needs come first. Acherim u'behem tan, if it's, on the other hand, the animals in the first town versus drinking water for the people in the second town, acherim kolim l'behem tan. So the Tanakama, not the Tanakama, that's not true. There is no author. This source simply says, if it is a matter of the animals in the first town versus the needs of the people in the second town, so we put the people in the second town as a higher priority. Kvisasan v'chayei acherim, on the other hand, if it's the laundry of the people in the first town versus the drinking water of the people in the second town, kvisasan kodemes l'chayei acherim. This view says your laundry comes before their drinking water. Note that we're not talking about where it's a life and death matter for the second town, according to various commentators on this source. It's a longer discussion, not for right now. But Amr Rabbi Yochanan, manat tana kvisa chayei nefesh. Rabbi Yochanan says, you are elevating laundry to the level of the drinking water for the people in the other town. Who is it who believes that laundry is that important? Oh, that's Rabbi Yossi. What do you mean? Because Rabbi Yossi says the following, Detani, ein nosin mehem lo lemishra v'lo lekvisa. You're not allowed to use peros shvius for redding or for laundry. Rabbi Yossi matir bekvisa, and Rabbi Yossi permits use for laundry. And again, this requires knowledge of something we haven't seen yet, a third requirement for Kedusha Shvius, that the need for which you are using the Peros Shvius has to be something that everybody needs. So that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying over here, is that laundry is something that everybody needs. So we're going to come back to that statement. But right now, my point isn't to discuss the ins and outs of the laundry. My point is that there's zero discussion of Hana Aso B'Yeroshava. There's a discussion about how important laundry is, but there's no discussion about the benefit coming simultaneous with the destruction. So indeed, this leads some Achronim to say that the Yerushalmi does not accept the requirement of Hana Aso B'Yeroshava at all. In Source Gimel, I brought you the Derech Amunah from Chaim Knievsky, who indeed says says if you jump to the middle of the first line, Yitachin da Yerushalmi, less like time of Dahana Asu be Yerushava. Sherei lo nizka be Yerushalmi tam zeh, it's entirely possible the Yerushalmi does not believe that this is a requirement at all. This Hana Asu be Yerushava, after all, it isn't mentioned here at all in the Yerushalmi, and we'll see in a little bit, the Aruch HaShulchan is going to say the same thing, that the Yerushalmi doesn't hold from this. Others are going to disagree. We'll see that in the base of commentary to the Rambam in Shmita V'Yovel HeYud, and we'll have to get to that. But right now, what we're saying is that the Yerushalmi may not believe that Hana Asu B'Yerushava is a requirement. What about the Rambam? Does the Rambam require Hana Asu B'Yerushava? Why not? Well, first of all, because like the Yerushalmi, the Rambam makes no mention of Hana Asu B'Yerushava. That's number one. Number two, the Rambam has a startling psak regarding laundry. Let's take a look at it. Take a look at Sores Dalid. The Rambam distinguishes between doing laundry using dedicated detergents that are not edible, and using peros shvias, shmita produce, meaning fruit, meaning edible produce, for detergent. He says, mine kavusim, kagon boris va'ohel kedusha shvias chala alayin. He says, laundry detergent is subject to kedusha shvias. It is holy. He gives examples that are not edible. Umechavsin bohen, and you can use them. Shnemar v'isasha basarats lachem l'chol tzarecheichem, because the Torah says it's supposed to be for you, for all of your needs. Aval ein mechavsin beperos shvias, but you're not to use edible shmita produce. Vein osin mehem belugma, and you also don't use it for that plaster that we talked about. Shnemar v'isasha basarats lachem l'ochla, because it's for eating, and we exclude the melugma, we exclude ziluf, which is pouring it out, spraying it out on the ground in order to tamp down the dust and create a nice smell. Velola haki, and not to cause vomiting. Velola mishra, not for redding. Velola kvisa, not for laundry. So you don't use perishvias for laundry. So here's what's perplexing in the Rambam. On the one hand, the Rambam says you don't use edible ingredients. That sounds like he believes in Hana Aso Ubiyu Roshava, right? We said the reason why we don't use Shemitah produce for laundry is because the destruction of the Shemitah produce takes place before the benefit of the laundry. So the Rambam, in saying that you can't use edible Peros Shvias for laundry, seems to paskin like that. That's one approach. That's one piece of the Rambam, I should say. And the Radbaz in Source Hay backs it up from a Tosefta. Fine. I haven't actually found that Tosefta in our editions. I'm not clear on where that Tosefta is. Afa Pichen. That's one part of the Rambam. Saying edible ingredients not able to be used for laundering sounds like he believes in Hana Aso B'Yerushava. However, the Rambam writes that inedible ingredients are subject to Kedusha Shvias, that they have the sanctity of Shemitah. I don't understand. How would inedible ingredients have the sanctity of Shemitah, right, if when you use them for laundering, there's no Hana Aso B'Yerushava? They shouldn't have Kedusha Shvias. They don't have Hana Aso B'Yerushava. He sounds like he's following Rabbi Yossi, who says that you don't need Hana Aso B'Yerushava. Otherwise, they shouldn't be subject to Kedusha Shvias. So that's our problem. Either laundering doesn't involve Hana Aso B'Yerushava. Laundering definitely doesn't involve Hana Aso B'Yerushava. That's the assumption we make walking in. So, if so, you should be able to tell me that either you care about Hana Aso B'Yerushava, right, as a standard, and if I care about Hana Aso B'Yerushava, then inedibles don't have Kedusha Shvias, or I don't care about Hana Aso B'Yerushava, in which case I should be able to use edible ingredients for laundering. Why is it that the Rambam seems to be going two different ways? He prohibits edible ingredients for laundering. That sounds like he does believe in Hana Aso B'Yerushava. But he says that inedible things have Kedusha Shvias, which sounds like you don't need Hana Aso B'Yerushava. So there are three different approaches that I've seen which say you can resolve this and have the Rambam believe in Hana Aso B'Yerushava. Okay, again, our problem is if the Rambam believes in Hana Aso B'Yerushava, then inedible things should not have Kedusha. Inedible detergent materials should not have Kedusha. So the first approach is from the Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah in Sor Zayin says, the Rambam believes in Hana Aso B'Yerushava, but only for edible things. It's only requirement for things that you actually can eat. The Sova Rabbeinu Dakar Chachlo If Leguela Beperos. He says the whole debate is only regarding peros trees, regarding edible things. Who could the diak lishna de brisa, velishna de kra, de la achla? Because the Torah says it's to be eaten. Avamini kibusim shein on peros. But if you're talking about detergent that is not an edible product, then everybody will agree you could use them for laundry. That's the Kesef Mishnah's explanation. He says, we believe in Hana'asu b'Yerushava as a requirement only if you're dealing with edible items. The Rikurkus offers a second approach. The Rikurkus says you have to work with the second definition, and I think maybe the third, for what hana'a is. In other words, we said that when it came to laundry, and when it came to redding the flax, and when it came to coloring, we said you need to define what hana'a means, what benefit means. And the first approach was the benefit is when you wear the clothing, right? That we had seen in a Rashi. But that approach we found difficult. The second approach was it's when you improve the material. The third approach is when you increase the value of the material. So the Rikurkus says the Rambam takes that view, that that's what benefit is. And he says, if you're dealing with edible detergents that are also food, so it's true that they are destroyed in the beginning of the process, because now they're no longer edible, and your benefit only comes later. However, when you're dealing with laundry detergent, that's not true. When you're dealing with laundry detergent, it isn't ruined at the start of the process. It's still laundry detergent until the end of the process. Indeed, I think in the Beis Av, he writes about this, that that not only does it remain detergent until the end, but you could add more garments later on in the process, and they would still be affected by it. It would still work. So if you look at the Rikurkus in Source Ches, he says the part that I bolded in the first paragraph, Shemisha Shishara Pishtana Begadim Biyayin Shachas Niskalkel. He says when you put the flax, when you put the clothing in the wine for even a moment, the wine, if you're using wine, Peros Shvius, that's ruined. Vana also Shas Levisha, and the benefit is only later when you wear it, whatever it is. However, he says, that's only if you're dealing with edible produce. However, if you look at the last part that I bolded, Boris va'ol hana'asana b'yuron shava ki be'ez shem es boir ha'boris ha'ol va'abeged niskabes va'vidomia de la'achila. He says, these inedible detergents, at the time when they are destroyed, the laundry is being done, that's like eating. In other words, you actually have Hana Aso Biuro Shava. That's the Rikurkus, that's the Beis Av in greater detail. So that would seem to solve our problem. The Rambam is saying Hana Aso Biuro Shava is required, and he says that works. That actually works for the inedible materials, and that's why you can do laundry with inedible detergents. The Aruch HaShulchan in Source Tests says inedibles do not have Hana Aso Biuro Shava. That's true. And they don't have Kedusha Shvius either. He says, our edition of the Rambam is wrong. If you take a look at Source Test, the second paragraph, Ulefizeh, Hagirsa Ha'ikarit Baharambam De'ein Kedusha Shvius Chala Aleihen. He says, the Rambam paskins that there is no Kedusha Shvius for inedible detergents. Our text in the Rambam is wrong. It should say they do not have Kedusha Shvius. The Rambam is siding with the Bavli, because the Aruch HaShulchan believes that the Yerushalmi doesn't require Hana Aso B'Yuro Shava. So the Rambam is paskening like the Bavli, saying Hana Aso B'Yuro Shava is required, and therefore inedible detergents do not have Kedusha Shvius, and therefore they could be used. All of that fits as one point. That's what the Rambam is saying. Except the Aruch HaShulchan has a problem, because if you go back and look at the wording in the Rambam, aside from the obvious need to change it, to say, Mine kibusim kumabaras va'oa kedusha shviya, ain kedusha shviya skala alei, and they don't have kedusha shviya, the Rambam then continued to say the reason why you're able to launder with it, go back to Source Dalet, umechabsin bohen shenemar v'aisasha bas haaretz lachem, he says the reason why you're allowed to use it for laundry is because the Torah says, peros shviyas can be used for you, l'chot zerchechem, for all your needs. That's not why you should say it. If he doesn't believe they have kedusha shviyas, then the reason why you're allowed to use them as detergent is because they don't have kedusha shviyas at all. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, if you flip back now to Source Test, When the Rambam writes that the reason why you're allowed to use them for laundering is because the Torah says it's for all of your needs, and he's saying, if you don't like my position from the Bavli, if you take Yerushalmi's position, that in fact they do have Kedusha Shvius, you're still okay, because it fits within a Lachem. So he's following the Bavli, but he's also satisfying the Yerushalmi. That's the way the Aruch HaShulchan reads the Rambam. So all three of those, the Kesef Mishnah, the Rikorkas, the Aruch HaShulchan, come up with ways to explain the Rambam. Either Kesef Mishnah, Rikorkas, fully explaining and maintaining that the Rambam believes that the inedible detergents are subject to Kedushas Shvias, that's okay. Either because they don't belong in Hana'asu B'Yeroshava because they're inedible, Kesef Mishnah, or because they do. And in fact, it is Hana'asu B'Yeroshava, according to the Rikorkos, or the Aruch HaShulchan saying the Rambam believes that they don't have Kedushas Shvias. However you want to read that. But the Rambam believes fundamentally in the principle of Hana'asu B'Yeroshava. However, there is an important outlying view, and that's Rav Herzog. Yitzchak Isaac Herzog in source Yud says no. He says the Rambam doesn't believe in Hana'asu B'Yeroshava either. Be'yin Ha'asu B'Yeroshava, Hine Tseyu B'dok B'Sefer Yad HaChazaka, V'lo Timtza Sh'Rabbeinu Agadol Zal Yazkir Klal Zeh Afilu B'Remez Kal. He says the Rambam never mentions this. The Rambam never mentions Hana'asu B'Yeroshava. Halo Davarhu. He says, isn't that amazing? And he says, I think the answer is that the Rambam is going to follow the Yerushalmi. The Rambam follows the Yerushalmi. Why does he follow the Yerushalmi over the Bavli? V'im toma amara Rabbeinu lanud miklal animtza mefurish b'talmud. You might ask, why is the Rambam abandoning this principle stated in the Gemara that in order for there to be Kedushas Shvias, you have to have Hana'asu B'Yeroshava? The answer is because we already find that in matters that apply specifically in Eretz Yisrael, that are tluyos ba'aretz, he prefers the Yerushalmi. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they dealt with these on a practical level, so we paskin like them. And so he says the Yerushalmi does not believe in Hana'asu B'Yeroshava, right? As we already saw, some have argued. And so therefore the Rambam omits this and doesn't follow it, and that's why inedible detergents will have Kedusha Shvius, according to the Rambam. That's his idea. There is an important application of this debate as to the position of the Rambam, and that is going to come when we talk about besamim, smelling things, but we, God willing, we'll get there. Okay. One last point on Ha'asa U'Biyuroshava. What if the Hana'a comes before the destruction of the produce? What if, in other words, we've said we want the Hana'a to come at the same time as the destruction, like when you eat, right? And we don't want the Hana'a to come after you destroy the produce. But what if there's something that you can benefit from, and you don't have to destroy it at all? Like besamim, in fact. You can smell them. You don't have to destroy them in order to smell them. So logically, we said that the principle of Hana'asu B'Yeroshava is that you have to use it in a way that's parallel to eating. When you eat, you destroy it, and you benefit from it at the same time. There's no such thing as having your cake and eating it too. Leave aside the origin of that phrase. But there's no such thing as having your cake and eating it too, meaning if you benefit from it, you're destroying the food. That's the way it works. So therefore, if you benefit from it without destroying it, that should not qualify as Hana'asu B'Yeroshava. Two Rishonim, in fact, seem to say that benefit that precedes destruction of it does not create Kedusha Shvius and is not allowed with things that have Kedusha Shvius. So the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, says that a lulav has Kedusha because you use it as a broom. And look at Rashi's comment on that in Source Yud Aleph. Rashi says, The part I bolded. Lulav ikar hana aso lechabed es habayis. He says the lulav, the main use of a lulav branch, is not sukkis. The main use of a date palm branch in general is lechabed es habayis, to sweep the house. Vehu sha'as biuro vekilkulo, and it is destroyed at the same time. Vedami lahanas achila. So it's like eating. Rashi says the reason why you're able to use this branch for sweeping is because it's damaged with the act of sweeping. So in the event that it weren't damaged with that, if that wasn't part of what happens with sweeping, then Rashi would say that's not Hana Aso Biyuro Shava. So Rashi is not good with the case in which Hana'a precedes the Biyur. Derech Amunah also sees this in a Rashi in Bava Kama regarding dyes, which I brought you in Source Yud Beis. That's one, is Rashi. Number two is the Baal Amar. The Baal Amar also seems to oppose Hana Aso Biyuro Shava. The Baal Amar writes in Source Yud Gimel, he says, V'kol Shekein, the part that I bolded, V'kol Shekein b'mi shenana bo kodem sheyizbo'er, if you benefit before you destroy it, kigon lulav aser l'chavei bo habayis, like a lulav that is used for sweeping, he has that as a case in which you benefit pre-destruction, it's not damaging the lulav, bein shenasu b'yur shava, bein shebi'ur acharanasu, ein tzarech lomash yesh bo kedush hashvias, dot, dot, dot. I'm sorry, no, not dot, dot, dot. That actually matters. Let's not jump the gun. He says, Kol shekein b'mi shenana bo kodem sheyis bo'er, if you benefit from it before it is destroyed, then bein shana asu b'yur shava, bein shebi'ur acharana asa, whether the hana and b'yur are together, or the hana is before the b'yur, ein tzarech lomar sheyesh bo kedushas shvias le'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says it has kedushas shvias, meaning Rabbi Yossi and not the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi did not believe in hana asu b'yur shava, so therefore he says it has kedusha. However, the Chachamim will disagree. So therefore, the Baal Hamor is telling me that the Chachamim who believe in Hana'a Asur B'yur Shava don't accept a case in which Hana'a precedes Biur. So these are two Rishonim. On the other hand, the Kilas Yaakov says, from the Rishalmi, that the Chachamim will approve where Hana'a precedes Biur. He says, look, the Yerushalmi, which we saw earlier, asked the question of whether besamim, things that you smell for their nice smell, whether besamim are subject to kedusha shvias. Well, besamim are clearly a case of hana'a before beer, right? That's, you smell them, you don't destroy them. So doesn't the fact that the Yerushalmi is willing to consider besamim for kedusha shvias tell you that hana'a before beer still counts? Right? However, note, once again, make the argument that the Yerushalmi doesn't believe in Hana Aso B'yur Shava. So you can't prove anything from there at all. The Yerushalmi doesn't consider Hana Aso B'yur Shava important. Therefore, it's able to consider Kedusha Shvias for Besamim. So we're going to talk about that more when we talk about Besamim in a little bit. But the upshot of all of this is this. We require Hana Aso B'yur Shava in order for plants to have Kedusha. And for the use of something kadosh to be permitted, it has to be a use that is hana aso b'yuro shava. Most approaches say that the Rambam agrees that this is indeed a requirement, and this will matter a great deal when it comes to inedible besamim, also flowers, although we're not going to end up discussing flowers. We're not going to have enough time. Okay. The third and last criterion for kedusha shvias for a plant is that the benefit is popular. We have already noted this in a few different sources. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Amud Aleph in Source Yud Dalid is a principal source for this. We had a debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. In this debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, let's take a look at it. They're talking about a lulav having kedushas shvias, and they ask, why? Why isn't it just wood? And we said, Sha'ani hasam da'amar kralachem le'ochla. Rushing too much. Let's read it. Taima, the reason why, in that particular case that was under discussion before the excerpt I brought, there was no kedusha shvias in the lulav he was talking about, was because it was a sixth year lulav. Hadishvi is kadosh. That means a seventh year lulav, a seventh year date palm branch would be kadosh. Amai, why? Eitzim bialmo is just wood. The eitzim ain't by mishum kedusha shviyas. Wood does not have kedusha shviyas. Tisanya, because I have a brisa that says, ale kanim va'ale gefanim shegvavan lechuv al pnei asadeh. If you store leaves from reeds, leaves from grapevines, lakdan la'achila yesh ben mishum kedusha shviyas. If you gather them for eating, then they're subject to kedusha shviyas. But if you lakdan la'eitzim, if you gather them for wood, there is no kedusha shviyas for them. So why should the lulav have it? So their answer is sha'ani hasam damar kra lachem le'ochla. The reason why wood does not have kedusha shviyas is because its use is not parallel to eating. What do you mean? Because it's not mishana asur b'yiroshav. The assumption is that this is wood that you are going to burn to make coals for the sake of cooking. So therefore, your destruction comes before you benefit. Yatsu eitzim shana asan achar b'yiroshav, and you destroy them to make the coals, and only afterwards do you benefit from it. So he asks, v'heika eitzim demashchan, but there's also wood that you burn for light. Da'ana asu b'yiroshava, you benefit at the same time. Amar Rava stam eitzim la'asake enom din, to which Rava says, yeah, but that's not what most wood is for. V'eitzim la'asaka tanoihi. And then he says, this issue of burning wood for the sake of heat, using the heat, that's actually a machlokes tanoim. And this is the part that's relevant for us. Disanya, Brisa says, Ein mosrin peros shviyas lo lemishra v'lo lekavusa. Tanakama says, you're not allowed to use Shemitah produce for the sake of redding the flax, or for the sake of laundry. Rabbi Yossi omer mosrin, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, you may. My time at the Tanakama. Why is the Tanakama okay with using peros shviyas why is the Tanakama not okay with using it for laundry and for redding? Because the Torah says, lo ochla, to eat, not for these things. We exclude these things. Why is Rabbi Yossi okay with this? Because the Torah says, lachem, lachol tzarchichem, for all of your needs, that includes them. So the Gemara asks, the Tanakama, we are now four lines up from the bottom. The Tanakama, aksiv lachem. But Tanakama, don't you have the word lachem in your Torah? What do you do with that? Doesn't that expand? Yeah, but only that which is like eating. Has to be hana aso b'yuroshava, that you would benefit from it at the same time that you destroy it, like by eating. Yatsu mishru kvusa shana asan achar b'yurin, as opposed to soaking, as opposed to laundering. Rabbi Yossi aksiv le'ochla. Well, Rabbi Yossi, what are you going to do with the fact that the Torah says le'ochla, that it's for eating only? I use that to exclude the malugma, the plaster, that's only for people who are ill. That's my answer. Kedisanya, like the Brisa says, le'ochla v'lo malugma. Fine. To which the Gemara asks, Mara Isa, the bottom line, Mara Isa la Rabba Sakvusa la Hutsi Hamalukma. How is it? What's the reason for using this to include laundry and to exclude malugma? Marbani Sakvusa Shashava Bechol Adam. I include laundry because that is common for everybody. Remember we saw that with Rabbi Yossi's position regarding the two towns. Laundry is something for everybody as opposed to the malugma, which is not for everybody. The malugma is only for people who are ill. That's Rabbi Yossi's answer. So the key thing that emerges here is that Rabbi Yossi says it's only if this has popular common use. And we saw the same thing in the Rishalmi in Shavias regarding the dyes that we saw in the beginning of the shir. Actually, the Rishalmi there brings it from Lachem. It also makes an attempt to bring it from the word Tihyeh in the Pasuk as well. So the Yerushalmi there believes it, and we saw it in the Yerushalmi in Shviyas Ches Hey regarding laundry being the life necessity for the first town. Now, worth noting, in all of these cases, it's being brought to support Rabbi Yossi, right? It's not the view of the Chachamim. So maybe the Chachamim don't agree with this. Nonetheless, the Rambam paskins it. Right? We saw that already in Perek Hey Halacha Yud when he disqualified Malugma because it didn't fit into Lachem. The Rambam paskins that Shava Lecha Adam is a requirement. It has to be a popular common benefit. So what are we excluding? So we already excluded Malugma, that which targets the ill. That word tefillin that we saw in the Yerushalmi Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph in Source Aleph, according to the Vilna Gaon, is something that's for children. So we exclude that which only children use. Chazon Ish, in Source Tes Vav brings you from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf, Yud, Dalid, that things which most people would not eat, it can be eaten, but it's achila grua, it's an inferior form of eating, will also not be subject to Kedushas Shvius. And we're going to discuss in the Besamim the question of how this connects to the standard of Shava L'chol Nefesh regarding Yom Tov. So we're coming back to that very shortly. But but that's a little bit about the third criterion, this issue of it being a popular common benefit. So let's talk about Besamim. Specifically, inedible Besamim. Edible Besamim have Kedushas Shvius. That we see in Source Tez Zayin, Source Yud Zayin. Edible Besamim definitely are subject to Kedushas Shvius. The question is, what about inedible ones? So the Yerushalmi asks the question in Perek Zayin Alacha Aleph, which we brought in Source Aleph. They dealt with it there, the end of Source Aleph, Besam Mashiach and Kedushas Shvius, and they tried to bring a proof from a source, and then they said, well, that source is not really dispositive, so we ended up Besafek. The Rishami leaves it as Besafek. It is unclear in the conclusion. So why shouldn't inedible Besam have Kedushas Shvius? What's wrong with inedible besamim? Why should they not have Kedushas Shvius? So the first reason why they shouldn't have Kedushas Shvius is because they're like wood. You can't eat them. That seems like a reasonable argument. Nonetheless, if you look in Source Yerches, the Chazon Ish defeats that, because the Chazon Ish says, the besamim afilu osen she'enon rak l'reach ve'enon ru'il na'achila chashivi peri she'chashuvin peryon etzel ha'adam v'kom alakdenos. And he says that benefit of smell makes them significant for us, because people will gather them and collect them. That causes us to view them as fruit. That's number one, is that the scent benefits the body, and that makes it like something that you eat. The other answer that is offered is that this is hana asa ubiuro shava. It's like eating, even if there's no benefit for the body, because hana asa ubiuro shava, you benefit from it, and you destroy it at the same time. The Mishnah Rishona says this. If you take a look at Source Yates, he says, Kohani Lerecha Avidi, these besamim that they're talking about there in the Mishnah are made for smelling. If it's made for smell, Shemitah applies. Dahani nami imeriach ben kamo shehein hana asan kodem biyuran. He says, if you smell them just as they are, then the benefit precedes the biur, and he is good with that. He thinks that's the same thing as hana aso biuro shava in the debate that we had earlier about hana aso kudim biuro. And if you put them into food, then hana asim b'shas biuro, and then you benefit at the time that you destroy them. B'shas tavshil kolet hareach kala ha'ikar. When the scent is absorbed in the food, that's when this material dissipates. So the Mishnah Rishona says it fulfills hana aso biuro shava. The Oz Nidbru disagrees with Binyamin Zilber in Source Chaf. He says absolutely not, because if I had wood that somehow I used in a way that was hana aso biuro shava, it wouldn't have Kedusha Shvius. So he likes the Chazon Ish's answer, which is that since the scent benefits the body, that's what makes them important. But again, argument number one against including edible besamim is, inedible besamim, I should say, is that they're like wood. They're like wood. And the response to that is either the scent benefits the body, or their benefit is considered hana aso biuro shava. Okay. The second argument against it is, unlike the Mishnah Rishona, it's not hana aso ubiyu roshava. The Derech Emuna asks this question. Derech Emuna in his Bir Halacha in Source Chaf Aleph. He says, Le'el halacha tes Bir Halacha hevenu from the Bala Mord im hana aso kodin biyu mikra in aso biyu roshava. We rejected, unlike what the Mishnah Rishona said, we rejected hana aso kodem biyura ve'eino egbo kedusha shvius, and it does not have kedusha shvius. So so he says over here, we should say that there isn't hana aso biyura shava. However, he offers two answers in a separate comment in the Bir Halacha. He says, I will offer you two answers. This is in Source Chaf Beis. He says, one answer is The Efsher, we're at the first bullet point in Source Chav Beis. The Efsher Mishum Da'anas Besamim Hukshamolol Al Nahariach Bahem. The benefit from the Besamim is when you roll them in order to smell them. He gives you the Gemara in Beitza that talks about rolling them on Yom Tov. So he says, if you roll them to do it, then it's Hana'aso B'Yuroshava. Then the benefit and the destruction happen at the same time. Alternatively, he says, and this goes back to something from the beginning of the Shir, Yerushalmi doesn't believe that Hanasu B'Yerushava is criterion. So that's why the Yerushalmi is able to say that the Besamim will be subject to Kedushas Shavias. So the first argument for excluding them is that they're like wood. The second argument to exclude them is it's not Hanasu B'Yerushava, but the Derech Amunah says, again, the Yerushalmi that's accepting them may say that we don't believe in Hanasu B'Yerushava. Or the answer is you roll them, and we'll distinguish between besamim that do have to be rolled and besamim that do not have to be rolled. The argument against them having kedusha, the third argument against, is that it's not shava l'chol nefesh. It's not something for everybody. The Chazon Ish says this. If you take a look at Source Chav Gimel, Tashmishan Rak Latanuk Umugmar Lochashiv Shava Lochol Nefesh in Yom Tov. The Chazon Ish brings in the Yom Tov issue, meaning on Yom Tov we say that you are allowed to perform malacha for the sake of Ochel Nefesh. Ochel Nefesh does not only mean eating, but it means benefits that are common for everybody. The Chazon Ish borrows from the Yom Tov discussion, where we talk about mugmar. Mugmar is a type of incense where they put the besamim on a fire and the smell wafts around and gets into things and so on. So they do not consider mugmar shava l'chol nefesh for Yom Tov. And the Chazon Ish says the same thing is going to be true here, that besamim, as far as Kedusha Shvius, will also be considered not shava l'chol nefesh. They will not be shava l'chol adam in terms of Kedushas Shvius. However, The Derech Emunah, while not disputing the main point of the Chazon Ish, the equation of Yom Tov with Shemitah, however, he disputes the application here. He makes the argument that the spices will be called Shava L'chol Nefesh. He says, V'yesh la'ayin, in Source Chav Dalet, D'lechora lo matzinu she'enu Shava L'chol Nefesh ala b'mugmar, Shema'ashin al ha'esh la'hotzi reyach. He says, it's only mugmar that is not called Shava L'chol Nefesh for Yom Tov, where you burn it on the fire in order to produce a scent. Alo b'sha'aratzei b'samim, o isvei b'samim, shemarichin me'atzman. But with other besamim that they do produce a smell on their own without the fire, Efshad is that Mikri Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Maybe that is called Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Aval Kanira, the Sphere Leila Maran, Etzim Anas Hareach, into Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Whereas the Chazon Ish seems to say no. Just the fact that the benefit that you get from it is scent makes it a not Shavu L'chol Nefesh on its own. That's the Chazon Ish. But the point again is that the third argument against inedible besamim would be they're not shava l'chol nefesh. That's the position of the Chazon Ish, drawing on mugmar. The fourth and last argument is brought in the Oz Nidbaru, and that is to say it's not called the ochla in Source Chaf Hey. He says this is not called the ochla because there's no bir mamash. There's no actual real destruction of it. The besamim remain. Okay. So as a matter of psak, the Rambam does not discuss inedible besamim. Doesn't discuss it. So maybe that means that he believes that there is no Kedusha Shvius. So the Derech Amunah brings that in source. Where was it? No, not there. The Derech Amunah brings that, in fact, there is no Kedusha Shvius for inedible besamim. He says the rule of Hana'aso B'Yuroshava is required from the Bavli, and even though the Yerushalmi doesn't, the Bavli does, and so it's obvious to the Rambam that there is no Kedusha Shvius for them. That's the position of the Derech Emunah. Rabbi Binyamin Zilber argues that no, there is Kedusha. Don't prove anything from the Rambam's omission. He says in Source Chaf Hey, is it in Source Chaf Hey? That's the other one, right? In Source Chavav, he says, "Ve'ein lidon mikavach hashmatas haRambam, me'achas shafilu hashmatas haRambam, amafurish b'bavli and lachriya b'zeshitas haRambam bevadois." He says we don't deduce things from an omission in the Rambam, Rav Herzog notwithstanding. He says even if the Rambam excludes something that is explicit in the Bavli, I wouldn't prove anything from there. Ubefrash is erak safek b'Yerushalmi, and especially when it's only the Yerushalmi that brought it wasn't the Bavli, and it was a safek. So Rabbi Yamin Zilber says don't prove anything from the Rambam's omission. Now, in Source Chav Zayin, I brought you the question from the person who wrote to Rabbi Yamin Zilber. That was in Tshuva Gimel. So in Tshuva Dalet, he brings the questioner who says, "Umashitiretz klota rasarav hashmatas haRambam ledim b'samim kemen she'enim b'furish b'gemara kashel avin she'er haRambam hevei Yerushalmi d'le el minei sh'minei kivushin yesh ben kedusha shvias." He says, look, the Rambam brought the Yerushalmi that's immediately adjacent. Why wouldn't the Rambam have brought this if he really believed that this was halacha? To which the Nidru adds to his previous point and just said, look, Yerushalmi ended with Safek. You know, that's worth noting as well. Okay, but there is this camp that says we don't deduce from Rambam's omissions, and therefore we believe that they have Kedusha. Despite those who argue that the Rambam may say there is no Kedusha, Shvias Poskim in general are strict, including the Derech Amuna. Derech Amuna, who had made the argument that the Rambam believes there is no Kedusha Shvias, nonetheless, in Source Chavtas, the Derech Amuna writes, "Mine b'samim she'ein roi ela l'reach, hu bayat lo ifshtab Yushalmi," the Yushalmi leaves it open, "in roi b'kedusha Shvias shalo, v'yesh l'hachmir," and we should be strict. So that's the psak that the Derech Amuna brings. That's the psak of the Oz Nidbru, the Dinei Shvias as well. That inedible besam should be treated as though they have kedushas Shvias. That's the application in the end. Good. Thank you.